Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. It is Bills preseason football we'll talk about with Sal Capaccio. He is going to join us on the Western Hotline. He will be on the sidelines tonight at whatever it is stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Bank of America.
What are you, a customer? I mean, what do you get, like extra checking account money if you do that?
No, it's just I had it on top of my head.
Very nice. At Bank of America Stadium, Sal joining us on our Western Hotline brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Good morning, Sal. How are you?
Excellent, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Good. I want you to count the number of Bills fans in the stands tonight and let us know in one of your sideline reports.
There's going to be a lot. I'm sure I'll talk about that. It'll definitely be in the report at some point tonight. There's a lot of Bills fans down here. I saw a lot of people at the practices, as you know. Just in general, even if people didn't go to the practices in Spartanburg, this area is loaded with Bills fans. I did a radio spot for WFNZ down here in Charlotte yesterday that had me on the air, and at the end of the spot, they said, hope you enjoy your stay in Charlotte. You should just stay down here like everybody else from Buffalo. That's what they said.
I have a challenge to the Bills fans who are going to the game tonight. I want to hear the Sal Capaccio song loud enough that it gets through the broadcast.
Ah, that would be funny. It happens sometimes. I don't know if it'll happen in the broadcast.
Well,
but
you know, you're on the practice field the other day doing play-by-play for us, and people are yelling out your name at the practice. So I thought, why not give it a shot at the stadium tonight?
Well, it's pretty cool if that happens, but I can't cue it up. I don't want to do that, but if it happens, I'll make sure they hear it.
Game two, for you, I know you have to watch everybody, but again, who or what are most important for you tonight? What are you really keying in on in the second game of the preseason?
Well, what I wrote was at the website, WGR550.com, four things that I'll be looking for. I think LeSean McCoy is interesting. It's his first game kind of playing again. He didn't play last week. Obviously, it's his first game in the preseason, and he normally doesn't get a lot of work in the preseason, as you know. But yeah. So that's going to be interesting to see how much he actually plays here. And at the same time, you know, I mean, there are some things happening right now at the running back spot that I think we should be aware of. And I'm not telling you that I think they're going to move on from LeSean. But at this point, I think anything's possible given what Devin Singletary showed last week. And I think Singletary is a part of that, too, if he can back up what he was able to do last week. Last week, they had an incredible game against the Colts run offense. But look, Andrew Luck wasn't there. They're not facing quite the same running game as they are in tonight's game, is at least what Carolina did last year. Carolina was number four in the entire league last year running the football. They have Christian McCaffrey. And guys, I want to see if the Bills can back it up. At least do that again for a quarter. If they can do what they did last week against this particular team running the football, it may be a really good sign of where they can go.
You know, you mentioned, though, with McCoy, it's so hard to evaluate. It's hard to evaluate running backs in the practice situations and how many reps. I mean, how many snaps is he going to get tonight? He might not get more than a two or three carries.
Yeah, I don't know that, but we'll see, right? I mean, that's exactly my thought. Okay, he's going to be out there. How many snaps? How many carries? Maybe it's an indication of what they're going through and thinking about the more carries he gets. I really don't know that, but you're right. I mean, last year he had four carries, I think it was, through the entire preseason.
Is that it? Okay.
And I don't know if he's going to get that even here tonight, but he's going to play. He's going to start, and we'll see how long he stays in. Frank Gore is not going to play tonight, so they're basically just flipping roles, and then we'll see Devin Singletary again. But you're right, it's hard to get an evaluation because LeSean is probably not going to get a lot of work, but he will be on the field, and I expect him to at least get one or two touches.
I think in your article, Sal, you bring up the key battle left. I don't say offensive line here because offensive line is an issue of injuries at this point. I think if everybody was healthy, we'd have a pretty good feel.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yep, we didn't lose you.
Sorry about that. I lost you guys for a second. I didn't know that.
No, I was just saying, I think you brought up the wide receiver battle. To me, that is the big battle left because offensive line is an injury factor. With the wide receivers, who's battling for how many spots?
Are we talking just at wide receiver?
Yes.
Look, I don't know if they're going to keep six or seven. I think that is the question right now. You know, and it depends on special teams and numbers and how it goes around the roster. But as of right now, I think it's probably six. That's normal. Ray McLeod, to me, is the sixth. Mm-hmm. But guys, Isaiah McKenzie had a real good game last week.
Yeah.
And if Isaiah McKenzie can back up what he did last week, I think, you know, he is right in that discussion. But again, you know, I mean, the offensive coordinator mentioned Nick Easley's name. I don't think Nick Easley's going to make the roster, but just mentioning his name makes you kind of think about him in that spot. And then there's always a surprise. You mentioned it. I don't think Zay Jones or Robert Foster are in danger of getting cut, but there's always surprises around the roster. And if they feel somebody's going to offer them something more and has more upside, then... You know, I mean, they might go in a different direction. So you could see seven guys based on, you know, special teams or those kind of numbers, depending how they shake out around the roster. I think it's going to be six. And I still think Duke Williams has an outside shot to make the roster. I think they want to see a little bit more from him.
With those, you know, with Jones and Foster, I mean, it's like when you bring up like McLeod and McKenzie or even a Cam Phillips, you know, they would have to play themselves on the roster. I feel like with Jones and Foster, it isn't as much about, hey, did McLeod and McKenzie do enough to supplant those? Those guys would have to play themselves to the bubble or to the point where the Bills say, well, we're going to have to move on from Zay or Robert Foster. And I don't think either guy is doing that.
That's right. But look, I look at it this way. If you want to make a case for a guy like Zay, and I heard your discussion this morning, he's an interesting guy here because to me, he's on the roster, right? I mean, he is a guy that was on the field for like 90% of the snaps last year. He never came off. He's their second round pick, as Jeremy pointed out. Like, he's a guy that he's in their plans and they like him a lot. But I do think the case could be made that you could say, he's at his ceiling. Like, what else can he offer you upside? You know what he is. And maybe that's good enough for you to say, look at our receiving core. It's not like we're trotting out the greatest show on turf here right now, right? So, you know, you need that guy on your team. But I do think you could look and make an argument that there are other guys that if we keep them, we're going to get more out of them in the next 2-3 years. Here's a guy in his third year. He's got 2 years left on his deal. Maybe we just move on sooner rather than later because we're not planning on re-signing him anyway after next year. That would be the case I would make for a guy like Zay Jones if you wanted to do it as far as him not making the team. And I think that's the ceiling and the upside that he represents versus other people.
Sal with us on our Western Hotline. You got any questions? Call us at 803-0550 or 888-550-2550. Of course, Sal will be on the sidelines tonight for the broadcast here on WGR. Dave in Florida, you're on with Sal. Go right ahead.
Yeah, how you doing this morning, guys?
Good, thank you.
Good, thanks.
I was just curious. I listen to you guys a lot. I'm down here in Florida. I'm a diehard Bills fan, been following for many years. And, yeah, I'm really happy with what the team's done. I'm an optimist anyways. I'm on the bandwagon every year anyways. But my point is, with the running back position, which you've just been talking about, with Singletary, I seen he made a couple nice catches, and they weren't sure about his receiving ability, and one he had to go up and get, so I understand that. But everybody's talking about his running. He only averaged 3 yards a carry in the last game. I don't understand what everybody's oohing about.
Well, then you didn't watch the game, if you think that. I mean, like, because, yes, his number was only 3 yards a carry. I will tell you that myself and anybody I've talked to and people that, you know, really kind of, you know, had an opinion about it, thought that he played really well. He got a lot of yards when there was nothing there a lot of times. He was good after contact. There was some times where he looked like he was going to be stopped after 1 yard and he got 4 or 5. And then there were a couple times he was stopped before that. But it wasn't about his yards per carry. It was about how he looked doing that.
Appreciate the call. Yeah, I think, you know, he's a guy that it's about the style of play. It's about, you know, you could watch his vision, Sal. You could watch the way he reads plays. I thought he did a nice job of, with a little bit of a, almost like a hesitation move, to see where exactly the hole is and the timing as to when to hit the hole. And, you know, you mentioned yards after contact. I think he did it on one of his catches. It was like an extra yard or two after contact, which got them a first down. So I liked a lot of what I saw from Singletary.
Yeah, and... Look, I think, you know, the comparison has been made a lot that he reminds a lot of people of LeSean McCoy in his running style. Obviously, that's a lofty comparison as far as the player. The guy he reminds me more of, and again, it's just the running style. I'm not saying he's going to be this guy, is Le'Veon Bell because of how patient he is. He is super patient looking and reading the hole and then hitting the hole. But yeah, I mean, if you can go back and I agree. He only had 3 yards of carry, and that's not a great number. But I loved what I saw from him and how he got those yards. He made something out of nothing. Sometimes he saw holes that just looked like they weren't there. And I was really encouraged by what I saw. And then he also caught the ball out of the backfield, which is something he just wasn't asked to do at FAU. It's not that he couldn't do it. He just wasn't asked to do it.
He's interesting because he's very shifty and makes guys miss, but he's not the fastest guy. So if you're if you're watching and expecting breakaway speed, you probably won't be getting that too often.
No, that's right, Jeremy, and that's the knock, which is he's not a home run hitter. But you know what? I think LeSean has been similar in that regard. He really was never the fastest guy, but he had enough speed to break away. And look, when you get him in the open field, Devin Singletary, he's going to be fine. But he's not the home run hitter that as soon as you hit the hole, you know, boom, he's off like he shot out of a cannon or something when you see some of these running backs. But that's not how he scored 66 touchdowns in 3 years at FAU either, right? I mean, he scored those touchdowns because he was making guys miss and he was finding holes and he knew exactly where to run. His vision is incredible, and his contact balance is really, really good.
803-0550 if you have a question for Sal. You brought up the cornerback battle in your article as well at WGR550.com. So let's talk a little bit about that. Right now, Trey White, Levi Wallace, Taron Johnson look set. After that, what's going on?
Well, Kevin Johnson is set as well.
Okay.
I mean, I don't imagine Kevin Johnson would have any problem making this roster. He actually has been playing a little bit in the slot this week now with E.J. Gaines out. I think they're just trying to move guys around and make sure that they have everything covered there as far as who they have on the roster. I think Saran Neal is set on this roster, and he's interesting because most people don't consider him a corner, but he's kind of playing the nickel corner. He is the big nickel. But other than that, I think there's one more spot left, and that's going to come down to Lafayette Pitts, Captain Munnerlin, Denzel Rice, Ryan Lewis, and Cam Lewis. And I think all of them are squarely in the mix. I love what Lafayette Pitts did last week against the Colts. He had two really nice plays and pass breakups. But the other guys are all right there, and they're moving them around, and they're shuffling them, and they're trying to figure out. And again, this could come down to maybe two guys because of special teams. It all depends on how they want to do everything around the roster as far as numbers and special teams and guys being kept. But I think those three starters you mentioned, plus Kevin Johnson, plus Saran Neal, gets you five. And you're probably, and then the sixth corner would be the guy who plays more. And if you want to keep an extra one because of special teams play, you could do it. But that's going to be an interesting battle, and we'll see, you know, who gets on the field when tonight.
With Captain Munnerlin, Sal, where's the fit? Is he an outside guy? Is he a slot guy? I mean, obviously he's a veteran and he would be very familiar with Sean McDermott's schemes, but where do they see him playing?
He's more of a slot guy, but he can play outside, but he's really more of a slot guy. I think that that's where he fits mostly here, and that would be the opposite. If you're talking about, you know, big nickel with Saran Neal, but if you want to go to a true just a slot corner, I think that you would go with Captain Munnerlin. He has an uphill battle, I think, to make this roster. It's nice to have him here because he does know the system. I'm not discounting him. I mean, he could wind up making it at the end of the day, but I think that they like the young corners they have here that are fighting for these spots. But if Captain Munnerlin was to be kept on this team, I think I would expect it to be because they want to use him in the slot when needed.
There's one guy I don't think we've even asked you about this whole summer, and it's Matt Milano. And I'm not going to lie. I haven't really been watching to see how he looks moving around coming back from the injury. Is he doing okay?
You know how Jeremy used to do a segment or wanted to do a segment called Tweets I Didn't Send?
Yeah.
You remember those things?
Yeah, I still have some of those saved.
Well, this is not a bad tweet in any way, but I was going to tweet something the other day that went something like this. Hey, if you ever want to find the football, just look for Matt Milano. That's basically what I was going to tweet about Matt Milano. The guy is always around the football. I don't care if it's a tackle. I don't care if he's in coverage somewhere. And then especially somehow, I don't know how this is. Every time there's a batted ball, Matt Milano is near it. And not saying he batted it, he's near like where he can find the interception after the batted ball, whether he gets it or not. But it's just weird to me that he's always around batted balls. So he's having a really nice training camp. He's just a really good football player. He's solid. He's athletic. He reads things well. And, you know, I think he's in a good situation in a front seven that he's surrounded by that can allow him to do some things. So, he's been solid. The reason why you haven't heard anything really much about him, Howard, and I agree, is just because he's out there and he's doing his job and he's doing it well.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that he was moving okay. Like there weren't any issues coming back. Does he trust the leg and all this other stuff? Because I quite honestly, I wasn't tracking it.
No, and you know what? That's been good since, you know, he recovered really well from that. I remember we went to UB's Pro Day. When would that be? When would UB's Pro Day be? That would be in March, right?
Yeah.
Maybe April?
Early April. Yeah,
April. And early April, he was in the field house. He was working out. And I spoke with him then, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm good. I'm ready to go. And, you know, shortly after that, it was right when the Bills started their offseason program. He was out there from day one. So he looks like, you know, full systems go. There's been no setbacks or issues whatsoever.
On the list of things to watch for tonight, I wanted to ask you about tight end. And it's, a two-part question, Sal. Number one, do we know if Jason Krumen is going to be able to play tonight?
We don't know that as of right now. We'll see when we get out there tonight. But he did practice this week, and I think that's a good sign. And, you know, look, I mean, you can hold him out of a game, but now that's even one more day and one more game that's gone by. And I know if you don't think that he's completely healed, you can't play him. But there's limited times here. We're running out of time for him to get on the field. And he did practice this week. So if you want to see what he can do and put him on the film a little bit, I think this is the chance you got to do it. So we'll see if he plays tonight. If he does, I wouldn't expect it to be too much. But hopefully he does get on the field and he's 100%.
And Tommy Sweeney is a guy that, you know, you had brought up quite a few times at Fisher. And then I know he had a drop last week against the Colts. But again, the door is still very much wide open. We just covered Kroom. Knox is still not playing. Croft is still not even practicing. What did you see, if anything, from Tommy Sweeney? And what about watching him to see, you know, come opening day, Sal, you know, he might have to get some snaps on this roster at the very least, because other guys wouldn't be ready outside of Lee Smith.
I've always liked Tommy Sweeney from what I've seen from him. He is a guy that probably can play in this league for, you know, 8 years and just be a nice player on a team. He's never going to blow you away with anything, but he's always going to do his job, and he's going to be there, and he's going to be pretty reliable. However, he did have that drop last week, and he had another one at practice this week. And this is a guy that has really good hands, and, you know, you just can't have that. If he's fighting for a spot, you know, that's something. A guy like that can't afford those kinds of things. What separates him from other people is his hands. It's not his speed. It's not his athleticism. He can do all that. It's not his blocking. All that's fine. Like, but he's not special in those regards. His hands are actually supposed to be special. It was McShay or Kuiper. I think it was McShay said he had the best hands in the draft of any tight end. And when he came in, I was super impressed at camp, but he's had a couple drops and he can't do that. So I think this is a big week and a big game for him. But you're right, Howard. If they don't get these tight ends healthy, he's going to have to play. And I think he's going to have to start catching the ball a little bit more consistently.
You know, I think I may have just gone the first time I've gone an entire segment with you and didn't bring up Josh Allen at all. So
amazing.
Right?
I wrote my article last night and I said the same thing to myself. I said, I just wrote four things to watch and I did not include Josh Allen.
Yeah. And I don't mean to suggest that we're taking him for granted. Everything's great. He's going to turn out. But it's funny. It wasn't as front and center as it has been in the past. A lot of positive indications on him from practice this week. So Josh Allen week two, what do you get? Like two series last week, I think. Yeah. I'm sure he'll play more tonight. What do you want to see from him, and how is he progressing?
Can I answer what I want to see? It's the preseason pledge, so whatever. But have the night that Sam Darnold had. Darnold was not only, you know, he played a little bit, he was sharp, mm-hmm. he got the ball out, you know, it wasn't scrambling plays, it was running an offense, and, you know, have that kind of night. Just a pedestrian 9 of 13 for whatever, and a touchdown or two.
What was his yardage, Sam? I want to know. Like, what was his yards per completion?
I don't know what it was. He was 5 of 7 for 46 yards, I think. I got to double check.
That's right. So not very high, right? I'd actually agree, because Jeremy, what I want to see from him is what you just said. But to me, it's, you know, I want to see a little more what I saw this week, which is diagnosing a defense, getting the ball out of his hands, recognizing where he wants to go, getting the ball out quickly and on target. That would be really good. I want to see him continue that. If he just does that all preseason, I think that's a really good sign, because we know he can throw deep and we know he wants to throw deep. But show me you're continually wanting to and understanding that, you know, you can just take the dump off and take the easy throw and things like that. So I want to see him do that. You know, I'm not expecting the starters to go even much more than they did last week here tonight, guys, because they did get really good work this week on Tuesday and Wednesday in the heat against an opponent. It wasn't like a regular training camp week. So yeah. I don't think the starters are going to play much more than what we saw last week here tonight. Okay. I think next week is when they're going to ramp it up a lot more.
Is it possible, Sal, that while it's the preseason, there's a slightest bit of an uptick in desire to win because you have spent the week with this team?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. It's a great point. I was just on our sister station, WBEN, before you guys, and I said this exact same thing, which is, look, they got to know each other really well, and there were no fights and nonsense and things like that. But you have to remember, too, you couldn't touch Cam Newton for 2 days. You couldn't touch Josh Allen for 2 days. Now it's live. Now you can get after these guys. And now there's a guy in front of you that, you know, you, you've seen for a couple of days, and maybe he got the better of you. Maybe you got the better of him, but you got to know him a little bit. And the other thing is, every single defensive back I talked to for the Buffalo Bills, I would say, so what was it like going against Cam Newton today or for the last 2 days? And every single defensive back paused and then laughed for a second and then said, oh, he likes to talk a lot. And that gets noticed. Did you guys see the video of him
Captain,
Ed Oliver?
That was funny.
Yeah. It started with him and Captain Munnerlyn.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And he said something about Ed Oliver. I don't know. He was just talking, and Ed like looked at him like, you know, what are you talking about? You know, it was just weird because, you know, here's Ed Oliver. Like, you could tell he just was like, I don't really care what you have to say. And I just think it's going to be a little bit more intense than a normal preseason game tonight. And let's hope we also don't get any of the stuff that we didn't have, which was good. And you know, guys are out there and fights are starting or anything like that. I don't think we're going to, but I do think that it now is your chance to say, okay, I've seen this guy for 2 days. It was a controlled setting. Now it's time for me to pin my ears back and get after him a little bit.
All right. We'll have fun on the sidelines tonight. And as always, thank you very much for giving us your time on the show.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.